Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Yeah, but today, what God put in my heart is really something simple. Very simple, yet very important. And it's something that we normally talk about. We even pray, even sing earlier, like, real love. What is real love? And that word is something, I know it. And a lot of us understood the Father's love. And we've heard a lot of preaching about that. I encourage you to look at the podcast. I know Pastor Ru, I think Pastor Vance as well, shared a wonderful word about that. But what God put in my heart today is really very simple. The love of Jesus. And not because that I started to sing lullaby songs. The love of Jesus, sweet and marvelous. Oh, wonderful love. Those are my theme songs now. But I'm going to read this verse, our main verse today. And then this is where we're going to go back from time to time. And thank you, Hayden. And can we thank the worship team? Thank you. So if we can open our Bibles in Romans 8. Again, we're in Romans 8. I love this Romans 8. There's so, you know, this is one of the chapters with so much truth. If there's one chapter that you read and you'll be transformed, Romans 8, go there. You'll be transformed. There's so many truths in that. But we're going to go on the last part, the conclusion of what Paul was saying about. And I'm going to start with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously gives us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And this will be our main verses 35 onwards. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a powerful verse. So many truth in that. That's why today the title of this word is Inseparable Love. Can be a good song title if you're thinking of a song, but Paul's the original there. But what are we going to talk about is we're going to go back to this from time to time because we need to understand the context of this verse. That's why Romans 8 is so meaty. There's so much truth in this because it's a conclusion to what Paul was saying to the Romans. So when he wrote this letter to the Romans, before he visited Romans, he was talking about the saving work of Christ. Then he concluded with this. Yeah, wow. That's why this is the truth. This is a powerful truth that he was saying. And he even says, I am convinced. Who convinced him? Jesus. Yeah. Jesus was the one who convinced. So there's two major truths in here. And in the first verses that we read, God is for us. That's one truth. And then the second part is nothing can take away his love. Nothing. Nothing. And for us to, as Christians, this is something very important because this is our ground of confidence. understanding that His love cannot be taken away is our ground of confidence as a Christian. You know, I'm just going to be honest here. You know when you did something and then you went to church and then there's an altar call. Am I saved? Do I need to raise my hand again? And then you realize like in your lifetime you raise your hand like 20, 50 times. Who's done that? Don't raise your hand. But I think you know what I'm talking about, right? You felt that. Like, I feel underserving. I think I need to accept Christ again. I think I need to do it. But sometimes, yes, you walk away, so you need to accept Christ, right? But then, from time to time, you feel like your actions were affecting the love of God. But it wasn't. Because it's always the love of God, of Christ. Not our love to Him. But what Paul is saying, it's the love of Christ to us. And it's a simple statement, yet very important for us to understand as Christians. And to understand what love is, I'm going to go do a bit of a quick look at what Old Testament is saying about love. Because for us to understand the love of God, we need to look at the love of the Father. And in Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, I'm going to read the portion of it. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, or love in some versions. Some versions says steadfast love and faithfulness. And it's interesting because some versions put the word steadfast in love. Because it's very important to understand what kind of love the Father is giving. And even in Psalms 136, the psalmist is repeating it over and over again. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Some versions, His steadfast love endures forever. And if we do a bit of a study, there's this word used, the Hebrew word hesed. And this means loyalty, faithfulness, or mercy. But more importantly, it is in a context of a covenant relationship to us. So it is not an emotion like how we understand love. That's not how God do love, by the way. Not based on emotions. But it's based, God is doing it as a covenant commitment. That's why in Lamentations 3:22, this is a lament, by the way. And then the prophet was saying that this steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's why it never ceases, because it's a covenant. So we need to understand that it never ceases because it's a covenant. So we need to go back to that verse again, the main verse. Who shall separate us? It's a covenant. That's why the first point I want to give it, that God's steadfast love never ceases.
Yeah, come on.
It never ceases. It started with the love of the Father, the covenant love of God to us, which led Him to our favorite verse. Guess what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Because of His hesed, His covenant love, I'm going to give My Son. I'm going to give My Son to you because it never ceases. And now I'm giving My Son for so you can be safe. So this is where it becomes interesting, because now we go back to that verse. Who shall separate us? If we can project it here. Who shall separate us? In verse 35, 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Didn't say God. So maybe you're wondering, what's the difference? But in the later verses, Paul said, like in the last verses, the love of Christ through God. So he intentionally said that this is the love of Christ. So this is two different things. Like, okay, Neil, so you're saying that there's two love here? Now, for us to understand that, we need to look at the relationship between the Father and the Son, Jesus. And you will see in John 3:35 that the Father loves the Son and has given him all things into his hand. And in Mark 1:11, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." So the second point I want to make is the love of Jesus is an extension of the Father's love. And this is important because us, as human beings, we distorted the term love. And Jesus came to the world to show us what real love is, like what we sang earlier in praise, what real love is. And to give you a proof on that, in Matthew 5, I think, he said, yes, love your neighbors as yourself. But I tell you, love your enemies. So he's making them understand, no, it's not just neighbors, but enemies as well. So it's a new meaning. So he's giving a new perspective and an understanding of what love should look like. And because Jesus was love, his love stems from the Father. He loves us. That's why in this verse we see that, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And in the earlier chapter in Romans 5:8, our salvation verse, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is an extension of the Father's love in Jesus and then through us. So today we're going to go deeper and understanding, okay, that's the love of Christ. And this is very important because we understand the Father's love, but most of us assumes what the love of Christ is because it's part of our basics. It's the basic. Yeah, we are saved because of the love of Christ. It's the basic. And when I was studying this, I was like, yeah, what's the difference between your love, Jesus, and it's not different. It's an extension, as I mentioned. So God led me into the story because apparently when Jesus was walking in the earth, there's people that he loved. And as you know, John self-proclaimed the disciples that he loved. Yeah, the favorite. But then there's another group of people. If you can guess who, it's actually a group of people because they're a family. And their name is Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So here we go in John 11. I think there's some scripture behind me. We're going to look at the story to understand the love of Christ. Because here we see in a story where Lazarus died. And I think most of you know Lazarus died. And then Jesus resurrected them. But then in verse 3, so to give you a context, Lazarus is getting sick. He's at Bethany and he's sick. But they know that Jesus can heal him. I know, I've seen Jesus heal people. So the sisters brought us some messengers to go to Jesus to call him so he can heal their brother. So in verse 3, we see, so the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son may be glorified through it. And in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Wow. Very contradicting. Sisters ask Jesus, hey, whom you love is ill. We need you. We need your healing. We need your miracle. And how many of you feel that? Lord, I know you love me, but Lord, I need healing right now. I need a work right now. I need provision right now. A lot of us are the same, are thinking the same, like Martha and Mary. We call on Jesus, and it's good, right? It's very biblical. It's correct. They call on Jesus. But it's interesting that Jesus was saying, because he loved Lazarus, I'm going to stay here. Okay. I'm going to stay here 2 more days. I was like, when I read this, I was like, what am I? I'm having a hard time understanding this guy. Why? Why do you need to stay longer? And you know what amazed me? It's because what Jesus mentioned, it is for the glory of God. Wow. What if I tell you that God's love looks at the glory of God or brings glory to God? No matter the cost. Are we willing to see the glory of God in our lives? We sang that song earlier. It's a tough call. And as you know, as this story goes, Lazarus died. And this is where the famous verse you saw, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. But there's one very important thing that we need to understand. Because the word love here, now we talked about the Hebrew word earlier, because now we're in the New Testament, so this is Greek. So, verse 3, so the sister sent to him saying, "The Lord, he whom you love is ill." So the love, the word love here that was used is phileis or phileo. It means like a friend, like I'm fond of you, I adore you, or I'm affectionate. So us, as people, that's how we understood love. That's why when they sent, we called Jesus, that's how they translated how you love Lazarus as phileis. But verse 5 is different. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister in Lazarus. And the word love here that uses different. It's agape. It's not a K-pop song. Don't put it in your head. When I heard it, I was like, oh no. But that's the word used. It's agape. Why is it different? When I saw this, I was shocked and mesmerized, like how everything makes sense. Because us, we only understood love as phileos. But then Jesus' love for us is agape. And for you to give a meaning of agape, it's and I think some of you may have heard it, Sunday school, or as you grow in faith, it's the highest form of love. It means benevolence. It's the love that brought up grace. That's why there's grace, because of agape love, there's grace. It's a love that is sometimes translated as charity. But the word charity, sometimes the world downplayed it. Like organizations and everything, and charities and everything. But actually, the word charity is very powerful because it is a love in action. I'm not just loving you, but I'm going to do something about it. That's what agape is. It's like charity. It's a love in action. Now, you're maybe confused. Oh, so it's different than hesed, the covenant love. No, it's a fulfillment. Because that covenant brought Jesus. And now Jesus is showing what real love is. That's agape love. And then we go on to this story. And as you know, agape, it glorifies God. He delayed on purpose so it can give glory to the Father. he waited 4 days, making sure that Lazarus is dead. And then he acted on it. That's the most important part. Agape acts on it. It gives glory to the Father, but agape love follows an action. And that action is 3 words. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus, leave. And you know, there's another important point in this story, because Jesus wept when he heard that Lazarus died. Because it's not just an action, because love, agape love, also shows compassion.
Yeah, come on.
The love of Jesus joins us in our sorrow and suffering. So if you're feeling sorrowful, you're feeling not your best, maybe everything is going wrong, don't worry. God understands it. He's not a no-reaction and sensitive God, but he's a God who weeps. He wept when he heard that Lazarus died. And when Mary fell on her feet, that is what agape love looks like. And it brings life. The love of Jesus brings life. That's a third point I want you to mention. Because this agape love took action. And that action brings life. And what he did in the story of Lazarus is a foreshadowing of what he's going to do. Now, I'm going to conquer that. I'm going to conquer that. And this is what I'm going to do later for all of you, not just Lazarus. And that's very important, because that's what we read in Romans 8. That's what we read in Romans 5:8 as well. Like, but God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took action. This is talking about Christ, that Christ died, that his agape love led him to dying for us. And it's very basic, yet we often assume and misunderstand this word love. But the word agape, like even in John 3:16, God so agape the world. That's what the word is. In verse 35, and what we read earlier, as we go back to that, who shall separate then us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? So having an understanding of agape love, Jesus took action. He showed compassion and mercy. He glorified the Father. Now we go back to this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall your tribulation, your trials, your distress or stress, or persecutions, or famine, nakedness, danger, sword? So who shall separate then? If God already took action because of his love, it's an active, present, and future tense. It's done, but it's working still. And he's done it once, it's working. That's what agape love looks like. That's why every time you feel down, oh Lord, I don't deserve, I did this and that. No, agape love doesn't look like. God loves you still. God loves you no matter what you do. No matter what your background is, God loves you. It is a done deal. That's a good news. It's a done deal. Nothing can reverse that. It's a done deal. Nothing can separate us from the, it's a finished work. That's why the fourth point, the love of Christ, is secure and inseparable. Because it contradicts an insecure love. I think most of us understand what insecure love is, right? For those who are married, yeah. Especially those who are dating. Yes. you know what it is. I you know, my daughter and I was carrying some other kids, and she was like, I was like, oh no. Then I started that's what, sometimes we question, right? Like our love, what love looks like, because it is insecure. We base it on our action. An insecure love looks at what we did, what you've done, what you are. But the love of Christ looks at what he did, never about what he's done. So that's why we should not have a sepangs or a separation anxiety. That's what that verse is, that main verse. Who shall separate us? No separation anxiety. Because we don't need to be anxious. Because it's a done deal. He did it, not us. And it's very important. That's what agape looks like. But more importantly, it doesn't say that it will spare us from tribulation and trials. It says, what does, go back to verse 35, who shall separate us? Shall? Tribulation? So it can happen. Trials can happen. Distress can happen. Persecution happens. Danger or sword can happen. And we go even go back to the story of Lazarus. Death happened. But it didn't separate the love of Christ. Yeah, that actually, got Jesus showing, no, this death, no, I cannot separate my agape. I'm going to resurrect you, Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. That's how his agape love looks like. So whether it's things in our control or out of control, cannot be separated. That's why if you ever feel not spiritual or not worshiping Lord, I feel like I can't even pray right now. Don't worry. God's love got you. His love remains. His love is still there. That's why His love cannot be measured in Psalms 36 verse 5. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Cannot be measured. And that's the overwhelming power, love of God. And how can you separate something that cannot be measured? It's hard to separate that. If it cannot be measured, it's like you're like a fish in the deep blue sea trying to separate the water in yourself. That's what it is, like analogy perspective wise. That's why nothing, not tribulation or trials, not our own experiences or will experience, nothing, not the principalities or angels, not the things that are out of control can separate us. Absolutely nothing in His creation. Maybe for some of you, I would say most of you, I would say, like, we're like Lazarus. Or maybe we're like Mary. We called to God. Didn't came. Lord, I've been praying. It's been a year now. And I my story. It's been 10 years. Lord, I've been praying. Am I not doing something? We always ask that question, right? What am I doing wrong? I need to attend church. And you know, I had this experience last November. Most of you noticed that I wasn't, we weren't here, so we went back to Philippines. It was a very interesting visit because we went back for my grandma's birthday, but it became a funeral. Wow. And I was like, oh, God, this is too much emotions, too much for me to handle. And you know, when things cannot get worse, it did. Eliana was admitted to the hospital. She caught pneumonia. So she was there for a week. And I remember going walking outside the hospital. I was like, God, what have I done wrong? I'm sorry, I'm emotional. I'm sleep deprived. 4 hours of sleep. But I asked that question. I even look at my notes on my last preaching. Did they teach a wrong theology? I need to look at that. I was like, oh, what did I do wrong? And as I was walking and praying, I really felt the love of God, like reminding me of this verse. And that carried me through that week. Unfortunately, after that week, he told me, preach that. After that week, and then, oh, preach that. I was like, oh, Lord, okay. So that carried me through it because I never understood it like that. Because I always question based on what I do, what I have done. Like, what did I do wrong? What? Do you still love me? You know, Mary can ask that question. He poured the perfume on Jesus. She poured the perfume on Jesus' feet. And then he did not resurrect his brother. He did not heal his brother. She could have asked that question. Because that's something that all of us as human, we think of how love is. It's an action-based, an insecure type of love. And that's why it's very important to understand that when all else fails, when you, and you know, I preach about faith and hope and now love. That's why the greatest of this is love. Because when all else fail, when you're not feeling faithful, or you're not feeling that faith, or you're not feeling that hope, Lord, I really don't know. Love is the greatest. That's the greatest of the three. And we need to rely on not our love, but the love of Christ Jesus in us. And as I invite the band to come up, there's a last task that we need to do. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, that you agape one another. Whoa. Didn't say phileos. It's saying that you agape, love one another. Just as I have agape you, you also are to agape one another. You know, I grew up understanding that agape is just something that we cannot achieve. And yes, we cannot. Because this is a love of Jesus. And I'm going to give you an example. You know the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. How many of you did the exercise of replacing that word love to your name? How many tried that? Who has perfected that? I need to talk to you. Because I remember trying replacing that. Neil is patient. Yeah, probably. Neil is kind. Yeah, my wife says so. and so on and so forth. But then we go to this chapter, to this verses 7 and 8. Love bears all things. Neil bears all things. Neil believes all things. Neil hopes all things. Neil endures all things. I think that's not relevant anymore. that's how we do it, right? I think that is talking of a different love already. It's so hard to understand that because, like me, like for you wives here, you cannot even bear what your spouse is doing, right? You cannot even bear the toilet seat not being put down, right? Or the flush. Someone is not flushing, or sometimes not cleaning, or not washing the dishes. So how can you say that you can bear all things? And what amazed me is when I look at the Greek word used here by Paul. The word love here is agape. Agape is kind. Agape is patient. And agape bears all things, believes all things. Now we're thinking of love wrong because we look at it on emotions and what we did. But what Jesus and what Paul is saying, even John, that the love that we need to carry is an extension of the love of Christ. Remember earlier, Jesus extended the Father's love. And because the Father loved Jesus, Jesus loved us. Now we are the one who are loved. What do we need to do? Extended. That's what agape is. That's what agape is. It's extended. When there's an action, there's compassion involved, there's sorrow involved. Now this verse makes sense. In 1 John 4:17-19, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us. That's agape. So we abide in the agape love of Christ. Then we can successfully extend the agape love. Without abiding in the agape love, we cannot do agape love. We need to understand that. It's just going to be a phileos love. But agape love means abiding in the agape love. That's our call to action. And that's why, as we go back to that main verse, what can separate? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. It's a done deal. It's agape. It's a charity. The word agape, a charity, there's a work involved. It's already finished. It's not insecure. And we are meant to reflect that love. So today I invite you all to stand up. We're going to go back into worship. And then we're going to pray.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.